Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to What Women Want with Judy Goss, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to What Women Want Talk Radio. I'm Judy Goss, your host for this evening, along with my co-host, Helen Powers. Thank you for taking a break from the Oscars and listening in. We appreciate you hanging with the stars of LA Talk Radio for a little while. What Women Want is always celebrating all kinds of women and their impactful stories and missions in life. We have powerful and dynamic women on the air every week, and tonight's guest is Laura Campbell. Laura's a transition expert and will give us insight on how to develop your passion from within. In the past couple of weeks, we've talked about ways to build your businesses and careers with business coaches and experts, and now we're going to dig a little deeper to find out how we can strengthen our resolve from the inside out. And we're now on iTunes and Stitcher.com, so if you ever want to listen to past shows, please visit us there. What Women Want Talk Radio was created to give women the opportunity to listen to and be inspired by our internationally recognized guests and celebrities, and to also give women a chance to be on national radio. So if you want to come on the air with us, submit your story at whatwomenwantshow@gmail.com. Or you can tweet us at whatwomenradio. We would love to hear from you, even if it's about the Oscars. We are here at LA Talk Radio every Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. And thank you to all of my listeners out there. We have over 5,000 listeners every month after only a few months on the air. So it's incredibly exciting for all of us and a step forward for our women's movement. Tonight's show is sponsored by Cappy's Travel. If you're ready to book that next vacation, let Cappy help you. You can Google your trip to death, but it's always nice to have a friendly agent do it for you. If something goes wrong, let the travel agent deal with it, I say. And her number is 888-227-7975. Her website is travel-by-net.com. And she's a Virtuoso member, so you will get the highest quality trips that you can take. That's 888-227-7975. And a little about me. I was in the publishing world as an editor for Cosmopolitan and then More magazines. And I became Moore's national media spokesperson and moved on to be a TV host. And after that, I interviewed A-list celebrities and hosted my own show on Better TV. I am also a published author with St. Martin's Press and the founder and CEO of a nationally acclaimed networking organization called Over 40 Females with 20 chapters across the country. And go check it out at over40females.com. I am also the mom of two beautiful twin girls who are now 10 years old. And you can find out more about me on judygoss.com. And my co-host, Helen Powers, is also on the air right now with us. Helen is a TV, fashion, and travel insider correspondent for NBC Connecticut, and she also is working as the most legendary, internationally recognized fit model and technical consultant for the fashion industry, and has been featured many, many times in major TV networks, along with now being a regular on NBC Connecticut. She's an advisory board member for Over 40 Females, and we are thrilled and honored to have her on as a radio show host right here on LA Talk Radio, all the way from San Diego. Helen.
Yes.
How you doing, Helen? How's San Diego?
Oh, it's rainy and cold. I've been out here so many times and there's beautiful sunset, but it's cloudy and cold. But I'm telling you, it's still much better than New York.
That's for sure. And what is wrong with the world? It is rainy and cold everywhere. I mean, good Lord, Key West last week was 52 degrees. It's absolutely crazy. I don't like it. Helen, there's been a lot of talk out there recently about the power of the mind. Although we can't change the weather, thinking positively, we can change our life, creating what we want from thinking it through, like the book Think and Grow Rich, The Secret, and Laura Campbell, our guest that's coming on in just a few minutes, calls it the power of possibility. But it's confusing if, pardon the pun, you're not in the right mind.
Well, you know something, I really believe in the power of positive thinking. I have my storyboard, and I happen to be out here in California where I feel a lot of it has come to the forefront in the experimentation and the lifestyle, that they slow down and really enjoy life to spell the roses. I mean, you can really relax and enjoy and tap into your inner self and go to a lot of these seminars, and they're easy to get to, and everybody's in the same mindset. I think the East Coast is a more difficult place because our lifestyles are so fast forward. So I'm really excited about digging deeper in tonight and having every woman's life empowered by really digging deep within.
Do you really think there's that huge of a difference between East Coast and West Coast in our mental attitude?
Well, I personally do, because I think life is much calmer. I mean, we have such a hectic pace in our lives back east. I mean, yes, mothers, businesswomen, we're all busy. But I think the weather, even though the West Coast, Los Angeles area, even San Diego area has a lot of traffic, which they didn't have maybe 15 or 20 years ago, there's just a sense of more peacefulness in California. I don't know, maybe my senses are wrong, but the stress level is so much less, maybe because there's more blue skies. I don't know, Judy. What do you think?
I think that definitely has something to do with it. I lived in Miami Beach for 5 years. And although I was a lot younger, I never got sick. And I felt like I had more energy. I was more motivated, you know, to do a lot more things than I feel like I am now. I mean, when it takes me 20 minutes just to get out the front door,
yes.
But, you know, with all the gloves and the scarves and then the kids and everything else, I mean, it's just, to me, it's not very motivating. It doesn't give me the energy and doesn't give me the power to think positive, you know, when I'm trying to open the front door and then I open my car door and the snow goes on my seat and, you know, it's just, it's tough.
But beside that, the energy in New York City, what drove me and made me anxious all the time is there's so many people in the city, and there's so many energies and so many souls, and there's all this, you know, electricity and noise, and think about Times Square and all this light being thrown at you. There's so much distractions. So, I mean,
overstimulation.
Yes, thank you very much. So, I think that comes into part. We're constantly distracted, and we can't get in touch with our inner selves as readily as people that have wide open spaces and less crowded, less bombardment.
Well, we're going to find out how to get in touch with our inner selves with our guest, Laura Campbell. She's got some great tips and advice. And Laura is the CEO of Laura W. Campbell Enterprises. That's lauracampbell.com, where she guides women to intentionally create the life, love, and business they desire and deserve using her strategic principles for fierce and feminine resilience. Love that. Laura is a transition strategist, a life and love intentionalist, divorce expert, author, and widely recognized expert in self-acceptance and living an authentic and powerfully feminine life. She has an MBA in strategic planning from the New York University Stern School of Business. She's a certified life and career coach and has trained with the Anthony Robbins Institute to create a practice that supports women through real life transitions. Laura, welcome to the show.
Oh, so happy to be here on Oscar night.
You know what? I watched some of the actors walking down the red carpet, and I feel like, I mean, it's fun, but it's a little bit of the same thing every year.
Well, you girls are the fashion experts. Me, it's always exciting to watch because it's so outside of my comfort zone. But it's definitely, I think my favorite thing is Neil Patrick Harris. I'm so happy watching him host.
He really is excellent. He brings a lot of motivation and movement to the show, so he keeps it going and rolling, and he's always he's a good egg.
he's a cutie pie, and
an extremely good, talented young man.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I love about you, Laura, is you keep it real when you're talking to people about, you know, especially when you're teaching about life's ups and downs and how to navigate their way through.
Yeah, well, you know, we're real women with real lives, and with the real comes messy. It comes messy, and you know the old saying, it's complicated. Well, I consider us, and I think I can wrap you girls into this as well. We're what I call upperclassmen in life and love. You know, we've been there, done that. it's not our first time around the block. And when we as real women with real lives begin to look at what comes next, it's not always simple.
It's not always pretty.
It's not always pretty, and it's not always simple. Absolutely.
How do we figure out if something that we're looking at isn't so pretty, you know, if we really want it or not?
So the beauty of women is that whether we are able to access it or not, we all truly know what we want. There's a piece, you know, deep down inside, there's a piece of us that knows exactly what we want. The question is, how do we go about getting it? And how do we go about saying it out loud when sometimes the thought of saying it out loud is a little bit scary?
Okay, but how do we find out if what we want, how do we find out what's really in there? What's the first step you would advise someone to take?
So, here's the thing about knowing what it is that you really want. It's the first thing that I would always suggest to anyone, but especially any woman, is generally the word awareness. But what I really mean by that is knowing what makes you feel good. You know, if I asked you and Helen, you know, what makes you feel good, you'd start to, you know, to tell me some of the things that are in your life that make you feel good. And I'm a believer that if something feels good, then we need to get more of it. You know, I'm one of those people who, if I have a, it's kind of like the potato chip thing, you know, you have one, it's really good, you want more of them. So you have another one. And life, you know, we need to follow that. We need to follow what it is that we, that makes us feel good. Because ultimately, that is what we want more of.
Helen, have you ever eaten one Lay's potato chip?
Well, I'm pretty much a compulsive eater. I just can't eat one. But anyway,
I doubt like that with your body.
No, it's true. If you saw what I had for lunch today, you'd be astounded. I even my friend said that you're eating it to the last drop. I said it was delicious. But getting
here's a good example about thinking about what you want. Helen's a fit model, and for I don't know how many years, decades?
35 years.
Oh my gosh, 35 years. She cannot stray from even a fourth of an inch on her figure because it's so exact, the science of her occupation, that she cannot, you know, differentiate from that, you know, from those figures that much. So some talk about positive thinking and the power of thinking. I mean, you really... That is, it's incredible.
Well, I have to say twofold. First of all, I've loved my career. It's been very good to me. I have to thank my mother for blessing me with wonderful genes. And yes, I have to put my mind in a thought process that, you know, something, I really don't need to eat that piece of cheese or that, you know, coffee cake or whatever. And I love food. I eat well. I don't deprive myself, but I just have to manage, you know, and say, you know, no. But, you know, I have to admit to you, and I'm admitting this on air for the first time, I had 35 years of joy in my career. And somewhere in the past 6 months, the joy is not there anymore. So I have to myself, Laura, reach down in my soul and find my joy back. I have to get my joy back. Helen needs her mojo back. So I'm actually going through that situation right now. So I am stating and contemplating what I want to do next. And in that contemplation, I'm throwing out to people, I want to do this. I want to do that. Maybe be you know, now that I'm hosting or co-hosting with Judy, I'm loving this experience. Should I do more of this? I love being on NBC now, even though it's every other week, starting again in the spring after all these horrible snowstorms we've been having. I'll get back on air again. Is this something that I can do in the future? And where do we go to really give ourselves the confidence, yes, I can do this, and yes, I can make more of a career out of this. My joy is not in what I used to do. How can I focus on something else? How would you suggest that we do that and get that confidence?
So, you know, confidence is one of those things that comes with stepping outside of our comfort zone. We don't develop the confidence first and then take action. It's in taking action that we create that feeling of confidence. So
that's a good point.
Yeah, and people misinterpret it all the time. They want to wait until they have the confidence to do something. But if you've ever done something courageous or outside of your comfort zone, after you've done it, you have that sense of, I did it. Like, okay, I can do that again. I can do that again. So sometimes it is having faith and knowing that you can even before you actually do. So that's the first thing. But I would encourage you, Helen, and any other woman to be a yes woman. I call it being a yes woman. And what does being a yes woman mean? It means being open to any and every opportunity. Anytime an opportunity presents itself to you, say yes at least once. It's like trying everything once because you don't have to do it again, right? But how will you know if something might fit you in this next, you know, in your new and next chapter unless you give it a shot and try it? You can always say, you know what? Tried it. Not so much. Don't want to do that again. But we have to kind of open ourselves up to the possibilities.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. I'm definitely going to any opportunity, even being on the radio with Judy when she asked me to come and co-host, I was fearful because I'm so used to being one-on-one or speaking with people in a busy, crowded room and eye contact, and I speak with my hands. So as I'm speaking to you now on air, my hands are going on and on and on. So I'm figuring, do I have the personality to be on air? Will people get me? You know, but as I've accepted this and Judy's had me on several times, I enjoy it. I look forward to each week and I never know what the subject will be and will I be proficient in it? And I said, you know something? The guests are great. You just roll with it, like we do every week, and it's always informative. And I really feel invigorated when the show after the show. I feel like I've learned a lot, so it's a great experience.
Well, that's nice. And, I guess it sounds like you stepped out of your comfort zone, but I actually didn't know that you were stepping that far out of it because you're such an eloquent speaker and you think fast, and you always have something of value to say. So that's interesting.
Well, it comes from my mother, Judy. I mean, and we've spoken about this before. She was always telling me how stupid I am. So I am not that aware that I come across as I speak or that I educate other people because I was berated so much. So that's still in the back of my mind. And that's why the self-doubt or the insecurities come from. It's from somebody, those little voices in the back of my head being told I'm stupid. So yes, it was outside of my comfort zone because I could always feel secure in eye contact because then you can see the acknowledgement of other people understanding you.
And the interesting part, so there's some interesting parts of our, you know, whether you want to call it your mind or your soul or a combination of your mind and your soul, It's always looking out for us, even when we are not fully aware of it. And the way that it does that is by making us uncomfortable and by trying to talk us out of things and to make us resist. And one of the things that I learned a long time ago, which was one of the best things that I ever learned, is that we all need most the thing that we resist the most. So when you have that discomfort, when something makes you nervous or anxious or, you know, even doubtful, that's when it's time to say, maybe this is what I need right now. And that's where that when you talk about the mind and the power of the mind and the power of possibility, it's saying to ourselves, okay, I'm feeling like I want to turn and run away from this. I don't really want to go there. But stopping ourselves and saying, but what if? What if I just gave it a shot? What if I tried it just once? And that's kind of where that power of possibility, you know, is it possible that this might be something that's really cool and really great for me?
Well, you brought up a good point of you know, stopping, which is something that I've definitely learned. But so many of us are so busy that we don't stop and listen and realize our true intention, what's really deep inside there. So what would you say to someone who would look at you and say, I don't have time to you know, take the time and listen. Who's talking? I mean, I don't hear anything that's going on. I mean, you know, people get so wrapped up with their lives. I know meditation is one good way to kind of slow down and allow that sense in. But what are other ways that we can do that also? Because I know women sometimes, and I was like this, I didn't want to stop because I didn't really want to hear it.
Mm-hmm. And so what happens, you know, for most of us, who actually are exactly doing exactly what you just described in yourself, is women, we are busy, right? That when you say I don't have time, that usually implies I'm really busy. And women today have taken being busy to an entirely like a whole nother level.
Yeah, it's awful.
it is awful because it does two things. One is that being busy. First of all, being busy isn't living. Being busy is just being busy. And it's also our, you know, collectively as women, it's our go-to default when we do feel uncomfortable and when we don't want to look at things. And when we'd rather, you know, when our discomfort is saying to us, nope, not going to let you look at that. I'm just going to, you know, you got a lot to do. You've got to, you know, you've got to run a bunch of errands. You've got to shuffle some paperwork around. You've got to, you know, make the beds. And it convinces us to just fill our time with things that are not allowing us to feel the way that we want to feel and that are actually keeping us away from the things that we actually really want. And so we have to be careful not to just fill our lives being busy.
Now, I know you have a process that women can go mm-hmm. through when they're looking for, well, maybe they feel like something's amiss or not quite right, that they can kind of go through this process and take the steps.
Yeah, you know, so I've been working now for a while on what are those concrete tactical steps that, you know, that we all have to take when we're faced with these times of transition, just like Helen just laid out. You know, there's possibly, you know, a time when she's getting ready to close one chapter and potentially open a new opportunity for herself. And the first thing she did is to acknowledge that the truth, right? Acknowledge the truth, which was, you know what? I'm not sure that this is making me happy right now. And that is really the first step. The first step is the acknowledgement that, you know what, something doesn't feel quite right. Something isn't making me, it isn't turning me on in the same way that it once did. But we get so afraid to say that because we feel like, you know, we're so busy solving things as women that if we say that, we have to do something about it, like immediately. No. I call it, and Judy, you've heard me say this before, no sudden movements. Just because we want to take something out and look at it, and just because Helen's decided that she isn't really loving what she's been doing, the career that she's loved for so many years, isn't having her feel the same way that she always did. So she doesn't have to jump into anything right away. She can take this opportunity to explore the possibilities.
Exactly. Hmm. For me, I've given myself a 3-year plan. This is how I'm building it for me. I'm giving myself a 3-year plan to look at all the possibilities. And when I go to my networking groups, over 40 females, and I meet new people, whether I go to different chapters and meet other people, I'm investigating. And I've learned through one of the chapters that I went to, I met Mar Jennings. And he really inspired me to think outside of the box because he was in banking for many, many years and then went into his passion, which was gardening and flowers and homes, and turned into an Emmy-nominated, you know, house and garden expert and went on to be on television and this. So I sat and I listened to that over a year ago. And then I put it in my mind, and all of a sudden, slowly and surely, through the networking and listening to him and talking with Judy, you know, and then coming on the show and starting to host and be a bigger part in the networking, it's given me more information. And I think the most important thing is to really research it. So I've set a path, you know, because mm-hmm. I wasn't feeling fulfilled. But I'm giving myself kind of like a storyboard, kind of like a platform to investigate it. Doesn't mean I'm giving up my day job, which pays me extremely well. But we only have this one life to enjoy. So mm-hmm. I really want, at this point of my life, to really enjoy what I'm doing. Besides having a revenue, I want to be able to give back something. You know, I've raised Absolutely. My child, yeah. and Judy, you still have your young children, and I think your children now are older. So, you know, it's we've given, and now I want to feel fulfilled as well as compensated.
And you know, you brought up a really good point, and Mar Jennings, what you just laid out, that story is interesting. So two parts. You know, we are talking about, in large part, the power of possibility.
Right.
Because one of the greatest challenges for women is that they say that they do, but they sometimes don't truly believe that what they want is possible.
Oh,
if
yes.
If you don't believe that it's possible, no one else will. So in this, you know, example that you just laid out with Mars, so two things happen. One is for Mars himself, there was a point, there had to have been, and I don't know Mars, but I know that there had to have been a point when he opened himself up to say, is it possible that I could have a career doing what I love, what I believe I'm good at? Mm-hmm. And he opened himself, and when he did, it opened the door for him to be able to consider that he could leave, you know, the corporate, you know, professional track he was on to do something else. Mm-hmm. And his sharing that story with you was in turn what opened the door for you to the power of what might be possible for you.
Exactly.
So sometimes it's just a matter of looking for the doors to be open and then giving ourselves permission to walk through them.
Do you think that's easier for men to do? Typically?
Yes. Yeah, in some ways, yes, and I'm going to tell you why. I think that what makes it easier for men is that it's kind of what's happened for women over the past couple of generations, which is that we start out our lives as young women, right? And we're thinking about we really start out with what's possible. You know, what am I going to do with my life? But then many of us focus that, and I'm sure we could have an entire hour-long conversation about looking forward to the day when we got married and had children, right? We were looking at that down the road as being, you know, we're going to become wives and mothers. And when we all did that, and I still think it holds true, and we stepped into different roles. We stepped into the role of wife, and we stepped into the role of mother. And then we were told we could do and be anything. And not only could we be anything, but we had to fight for our right to do things equally to men, right? So then we stepped fully into into that professional role. And so as we did that, in so many ways, women shut down their own, we no longer gave ourselves permission to explore what was possible, because we had already bought into that it was not appropriate or irresponsible or selfish to take away from those other existing roles to explore the power of our potential. And so that's my long and short way of saying that for men, I don't believe, and just by the virtue of our experience over the decades, that they get as bogged down with the mindset stuff, the torturous mindset stuff that we do as women around the many roles that we play in our lives.
Well, there are two parallels that you're saying as far as the reason maybe that why women are either holding themselves back or being held back. Mm-hmm. And there's the history that sounds like it plays a very mm-hmm. major role in it. But there's mm-hmm. also the history that Helen brought up earlier of the parental raising. Mm-hmm. So there's a parallel here with history of just really general history and then of our parents. Right? Mm-hmm. It took me a long time to believe that anything that I was doing or believing or thinking now had to do with my mother. You know, yep. I thought she's not a part of my life anymore. I make my own decisions and I, you know, move forward and I don't think like her. And I never had her kind of, you know, ideologies or attitude or anything like that. But, you know, that wasn't true.
You know, and I have a particular, you know, whether it's a passion or a mission around that as well. And I know, you know, the three of us we're all mothers. And
well, I rolled my eyes because I majored in psychology. I rolled my eyes and thought, oh God, that's so Freudian. You know,
but it is true, Judy. It is true. And you know what? And because of our experiences and because of the subject that we're talking about tonight, we have a greater responsibility as mothers and women and thought leaders around possibility for the next generation. Mm-hmm. We have to step fully into the power of our potential and our possibilities in order to allow for the next generation to do that as well, to give them permission. We have to do it.
To realize
it. Say it. But we
well,
have to
I'd
do
like
it.
To, I'd like to also say that I have a girlfriend that's married, and I believe her husband thwarts her ambition. She would like to get into another field, and she does very well in what she's doing now, but he is robbing her of her potential and power of what her passion is. So that's another detriment and holding us back from achieving what we deem that we would like to pursue, because they'll throw in our face, well, you know, your children are here, you have to be here for your children, and your responsibility is being head of the household, head of the mothering part of holding the home together. So how are women going to be able to break that barrier that men have placed upon them by guilting them into not pursuing their dreams?
We collectively as women have to give ourselves and each other permission to believe that what we want is possible and to pursue it, meaning that we have to make sure to allow ourselves and each other know that we are not irresponsible, right? It isn't inappropriate, and it doesn't diminish who we are as mothers or as wives or partners just because we want to pursue things, just because we want to step outside of the box. In fact, I would argue it makes us even stronger as mothers.
Well, don't you think that's the threat to the man? I'm sorry,
I think
it sounds
I'm going to just shift that a little bit because it's what I do, is that it's not as much a threat as it is uncomfortable, right? Mm-hmm. For them, it forces them to consider if their needs won't also continue to be met. But the truth is, we know we can continue to meet those needs. This has nothing to do with meeting those needs. But it's just, again, you know, what I said is those roles, those societally defined traditional views on what those roles are, you know, and we have to break that. We have to break that barrier now. We really do. We have to change up the definition of what that looks like. And it's our job to do that.
Well, I'm doing that for my daughter. Absolutely. Mm. I mean, I told her that there's nothing that she can't be or do and be married and be able to do it, because I brought up my daughter on my own with no interference from anybody. I had sole custody and sole support. So I didn't have to put any boundaries. She hasn't seen any boundaries. And I'm curious to see in 10 years from now, what that's going to transpire in her life.
Yeah, and you know, Judy, you asked earlier what, you know, what can women, you know, what can women do? And women can recognize that when they do make that decision to pursue, you know, the potential or to explore the possibilities, that they recognize that it is going to affect those around them and be considerate and compassionate about that, right? When we approach our spouses and we say, you know, I'm going to go do this, you know, I want to be a world explorer, it's going to make them uncomfortable. Like, what? Where are you going? What are you doing? And what? And you know, we have to recognize that we can do what it is that we want and we can explore what it is that we want, but we have to help those around us to support us in doing it. And yeah. I think that's what is so hard for women, is that they don't really know how to do that.
That they don't know how to support each other?
No, we know how to support each other. What we don't, what we sometimes struggle with is knowing how to support those around us who might be uncomfortable with what we want to do. Women, we're pretty good about supporting each other. But if it, you know, as Helen described, sometimes there's husbands or our own parents or others in our life who get uncomfortable with our decisions. We have to help them. We have to stand firm in what we want, but help them to understand why it is.
So how do you do that?
Well, there's all kinds of tools that one can use, but one that's, you know, it goes without saying, and yet I think it does need to be said, is, and you and I have spoken about this before, it's how we communicate. It's the power of our language, and because it's sometimes those conversations and stepping into, you know, new and exciting opportunity for us, is uncomfortable, we avoid sometimes having important conversations. And I believe that we need support. I know I have, over my years and my transitions, needing support in helping to navigate those shifts, right? Because when you step into something new, and listen, Judy, your life has changed too. When you started Over 40 Females, it, you know, you probably had no idea that it would begin to turn into what it is, what it's grown to be.
Right, and I have another opportunity also that's coming along, and I'm going through exactly what you're saying, you know, and I tell people sometimes about it, and they're like, well, what about Over 40 Females? And my thing is, I can do both, you know, so it's, and they just look at me like you're crazy, but people like Helen who understand me and who know that she knows that everything is open right now and everything is possible, that anything is possible. Mm-hmm. And that if something's my passion, you know, why can't I do both? But I don't know. I don't know exactly what you're saying about when you're trying to support
I'm going to use someone who's looking
at you like you're crazy.
Well, and so you brought up a perfect example. So you may have people, if you decide to step into this new opportunity, there may be people who question or even doubt that you're going to be able to continue to give Over 40 Females exactly the same attention that you did before. Even though you know that you can, and that you've already opened yourself up fully to being able to do both of them, but you're going to have to bring the Over 40 Females community and potential naysayers along with you, right? You're going to help them to understand and get comfortable with the fact that nothing for them is going to change, even though you are expanding what you're doing. And that's a process that we don't talk about so much, but you're going to probably have to do more communication with the people around you and your Over 40 Female communities so that they come along that ride with you in a much more comfortable way. Does that make sense? And it happens for us all the time.
It makes sense, but I'm not exactly sure. Like, I can't picture this. Like, I don't have this problem with my husband in particular, but I can't picture someone saying and getting a negative reaction from someone like a husband or a best friend and then trying to not change their mind, but turn them around. For me, I don't particularly care what they think. I know that what my potential is and what I, you know, where I'm going in life. So I don't quite understand, but I guess, how we can support them support us.
So here's what I mean. So Helen brought up the example of her friend whose husband is really challenged with and is really guilting this woman who wants to do something. And it happens frequently with women entrepreneurs, because we all know what it takes and what it means to start and run a business. And so it's oftentimes very difficult for our spouses or, you know, or our children or our parents, whoever it is, to understand, you know, why we want to do this and why it's important for us and want to kind of make us feel a little bit guilty about our decision, because it might take away from your kids or take away from your husband or take away from something else that you've always done. And so what I'm talking about is having the conversations that actually sits down and help, and you help your husband or you help whoever is challenging you to understand why it's important for you to be doing what it is that you're doing. And to walk them through, literally walk them through how it's going to work out and how you are going to be able to manage and what it potentially looks like when you become happier and more fulfilled as a person, and how much more you can then bring to the table as their wife or as their mother or as their whatever. Mm-hmm. And those conversations are often not had. Instead, mm-hmm. there's frustration and, you know, and feeling attacked or feeling, you know, pushed down, and it doesn't have to be that way.
It's mm-hmm. like turning your experience or what you're seeking to a point where they can see it, that it's only going to enrich them even more, as opposed to take Correct. Away from what you're exactly bringing to them. It's actually going to benefit them more.
Helen, did anyone exactly. ever, has anyone told you, you know, when you started doing more TV and what you're doing now, you know, when you had the idea, did anyone ever just look at you or did you kind of feel anybody kind of go, what?
Well, I have to tell you, my agent from Ford Models, she says, you know, you're going to be all washed up by the time you're 50. Well, you know, Judy, you know how old I am. I'm over 50, and I'm at the strongest peak of my career now. I am so fortunate and so grateful that I have more work than ever before. I have to start at 8 o'clock in the morning as I'm trying to gear back and pull back so I can do other things. I'm getting more and more. Mm-hmm. So it's amazing. It blows my mind where other girls half my age are not getting work at all. So it's something that you have to have confidence in yourself. You have to earn. You have to earn. People don't understand, and younger people don't understand, or maybe people in general don't understand. The sense of entitlement is nonsense. You have to earn respect in your field. And then if you want to go try something else, you have to believe in yourself, and you have to have something to back up your sense of what you're trying to accomplish. I mean, I'm still searching for the confidence, which, Judy, you're giving to me slowly and surely. You're helping me by leaps and bounds. I don't think you really can see how much you give me. And I
not
appreciate
really.
That. Well, you do. And not let any people hold us back. And don't let the age hold you back, because I'm trying to break barriers at my age. Who would ever think at my age I'm trying to get into broadcasting? Most women are getting kicked out, like Diane Sawyer and this one and that one.
Yeah, and you're doing it.
And women relate to me, because I think I put it on an I'm every woman level. And when you're communicating with other people in work and in your social life, if you're all playing on the same field and you're relating to everybody and you're all comfortable with one another, then you want them to succeed. Don't let other people's envy let them dissuade you from pursuing what you want to do. Just as is the women that are going to feel slighted that you're not giving your all to over 40 females by maybe pursuing something else, but it's only going to give that more exposure, let's say, and it's only going to enhance it. So don't, and part of it can be the human condition of those emotions such as envy, jealousy, you're not going to pay as much attention to me, insecurity. Do you find that's part of the chapter of that way? That
me?
May be,
you're asking me or asking Laura?
Laura.
Oh, yeah, you know, I'm listening to you, and it's so interesting because I've always viewed or I've learned over the years to view that envy as someone who's struggling with suppressing their own desire to explore what's possible.
Exactly.
Right? Oh, my gosh. Can you say that again?
Yeah. So envy is usually a reflective of someone who is suppressing their own desire to pursue what might be possible for them.
Right? And you're doing it, Judy.
You know, Laura, you have such great advice. And I know there was at one point, and we're, I can't believe it's almost the end of the show, because every time I get on the air with you and anywhere with you, I feel like I could talk to you forever. But you had a process where the woman writes down, at first, if she is afraid to admit it to someone, she writes it down and then writes it down again and feels more comfortable with it, seeing it on paper. And then finally, when she's brave enough to kind of go out and verbalize it, then she does that. Can you kind of explain that process? Because I found that pretty fascinating. And I think that would help someone in this situation. Maybe that was maybe a step behind me and just trying to, you know, get out what they really want to do.
Yes. So, you know, this is really kind of unleashing one's truth, the truth of what you want, right? Which is something that's very hard for us women. We will tiptoe all over the place before we'll actually come right out with it. And so having, and again, this is where, you know, I do like to talk about that we don't have to do anything. No sudden movements. Just because you want to begin to put it down on paper, and you're absolutely right. So the first thing is kind of saying it in your head, what it is that you want, right? Oh my God, I think I might want to do this. Like, I might want to start a business, or I might want to take this opportunity that somebody's just offered me. Saying it in our head is one thing. Putting it on paper is another. Saying it out loud to someone is a whole other one. I have a process called the truth inventory, and it's a process where I've created this. It's a questionnaire, but it really asks women to say it out loud, is really what it does. And they put it in writing and it comes to me. It doesn't go anywhere else. It's not an attachment. So it can just be this kind of, oh my God, I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I said it out loud, but doesn't commit you to taking action. It only commits you to opening the door to the fact that what if it's possible? What if that is possible? And then you can put it back in its box, put the box back in the shelf, and not do anything about it for the moment until you can breathe into it and start to feel more comfortable. And then you can take it out again.
And that's where you come in, the transition strategist. How about that with your fierce and feminine resilience principles?
That's exactly right. Then we'll go back to where we first started this conversation, which is we are real women with real lives. So while we may want to, you know, I have a friend who took up bodybuilding at age 50, and that's a big undertaking at age 50. And, you know, the truth is, it wasn't going to be an easy road. Just because she admitted it and she herself committed to it, she's three children. And, you know, there's a real life there.
Now, so was she in competition? She was going to compete?
Yeah, she was going to compete.
Amazing.
And did compete. And it is amazing. But the truth is, she needed a strategy. And that's why I do what I do, because it's one thing to put it out there and say it out loud, and then it's another to create the plan for going out and getting it. Mm-hmm. And that's a very tactical plan that has real, you know, real steps and real actions that have to happen.
And you coach people from business to divorce and back.
All over the place. Because what did he say? We're messy, girl. We're messy, and it's not always pretty.
Exactly. Well, you gave us so much insight tonight with the power of possibility and really how to, you know, hone in on what we want and the truth about, you know, maybe how we can detect what we don't want and how to kind of follow our intention. And Helen, it's always such a pleasure having you on the show because you have so much to add with this. I'm always impressed with how far you've come, although, you know, you've been on, I guess, retreats and conventions and that type of thing, learning about how to follow your inner intentions and all that. But I'm just impressed with how far you've come also and what you've learned over the years and your teachings. Yes, of course. And Laura, people can find you on lauracampbell.com.
LauraWCampbell.com. And you know, Judy, I just want to leave everyone with one thing. And the one thing that I want to leave everyone with is that just because you can't see it doesn't mean it isn't there. So, and if I, you know, for Helen, for example, just because she can't see what that next thing is going to be exactly doesn't mean it isn't there. It's absolutely there and it's waiting for her.
Thank you.
That's LauraWCampbell.com. Thank you so much for what you do for encouraging women and bringing them out of their shells and really giving such great advice. And I can see someone working with you and you having their plan and being passionate about it. And I just think that's such a great combination.
Oh, thank you, honey. Yeah, I got your back. We got each other back.
Awesome. Well, it's great having you on the show. And everyone, if you'll join us next week on What Women Want, we're going to talk about inner beauty from a former top Visa and Microsoft marketing executive, a man, but that's all right, and a female psychologist to keep us on board with it all. So I love getting different points of view, and I like getting the male-female perspective. That's always interesting. And this show will be particularly interesting with great advice on how to market to women, which actually may be a little more complicated than you think. So segueing a little bit off of what we were talking this evening. And please join our Facebook page, What Women Want Talk Radio, and become a part of the excitement as What Women Want unfolds every Sunday evening to inspire, educate, and entertain. We appreciate you listening and are looking forward to many, many more shows here together on LA Talk Radio. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
You're listening to What Women Want with Judy Goss, right here on LA Talk Radio.